Now, I've got my eye on a book that I reckon would be a darn good read. And let me speak to Stuart Bailey, who's the man behind it. Stuart, good morning.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Stuart. Good idea, linking really the 20th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, the peace and beyond, and indeed the music of a generation where we heard the songs and we were aware of the bombs and bullets as well. This is the idea to bring together troubled songs, music and conflict in Northern Ireland. You've spoken to some big hitters.
I have. It's something that I've been looking at for probably maybe 5 years and maybe a lot longer in the back of my mind. And, you know, we've all lived through those appalling times, and sometimes music was give us a wee bit of sustenance. Sometimes it got us a wee bit angry. Sometimes it gave us a sense of purpose. So I kind of started to collect all the ideas, and then I said, it would be great to speak to Bono, and Bono was a bit helpful, and Christy Muir was a bit helpful, and Stiff Little Fingers and the Undertones. So I got 60 different voices in the book, and I think it tells a very positive story. You know, obviously, you know, there were dark songs for dark times, but I think music has helped to kind of lead us hopefully to a better place. And you know, one of the big set pieces of the book is the moment where Bono gets Trimble and Hume to shake hands in 1998 at the Waterfront Hall, and it kind of, you know, it pushed the agreement vote and stuff like that. So I do think music has worked for the better.
It's interesting that you mentioned Bono and Christy Muir, both of them not afraid to immerse themselves in politics to express an opinion. Bono particularly in universal politics, Christy Muir as well, but he was more vocal on the Irish situation, Christy Muir. I saw a documentary about the Undertones relatively recently, and they avoided politics. They were able to come up with cracking songs that made us all feel good, even though they came from a backdrop of political unrest. And I think it was Damien O'Neill mentioned that one of the songs, and I can't for the life of me remember which one, was a song that had a political message in it. Just one of the songs, and it was sort of an anger for what was happening in Derry at that time. Stiff Little Fingers, Alternative Ulster, was that political, or was that just rebellious?
Well, I think at that stage, anybody who made a noise or anybody who got in a van, you know, was making a statement, because, you know, it would have been easy just to stay in the house and not go out and not have fun and not enjoy yourselves. The Undertones were very much about being upbeat and being positive and falling in love and teenage kicks. Later on, they had a song called It's Going to Happen, which was a kind of an allusion to the hunger strike.
That's it.
And near the end of their career, they were kind of a little bit conflicted. How do we write about this? And John O'Neill wrote a song called Crisis of Mind about how he was kind of in difficulties to write about it. Stiff Little Fingers were very much overt. The first song they ever put out was called Suspect Device, which was, you know, a teenager is almost wired and programmed by other people to do bad work, and you can rewire it if you think about it hard and long. And Alternative Ulster, you know, there's a great line in that song, it's take a look where you're living. And it's almost like, you know, think about the context of your life. Think about, you know, what's going on here. Do you have to be part of this tribal sectarian system, or can you rise above it? And I, as a teenager, I heard these songs on John Peel's show and elsewhere, and it blew my mind. It really made me think, and I think anything that causes listeners or young people to rethink their situation has got to be a good thing.
You also speak to the Miami Show Band surviving members in the book, a very important story within the musical history of the Troubles, arguably one of the greatest atrocities that we experienced.
Well, certainly in cultural terms, you know, you always watch those American cowboy films, and every time there's a shootout in a saloon bar, nobody shoots a piano player. You know, that was always the rule. You don't shoot the piano player. And in 1975, they shot the piano player and the singer and the trumpet player. And it was a heinous thing, and we still haven't really got to the bottom of what happened. But, you know, targeting young men who are in a van going from Banbridge to Newry for no apparent reason. And it certainly shut down the entertainment business for a long time. But, you know, bless Rory Gallagher and bless a few other choice people, Horse Lips and stuff, but people stopped playing. And, you know, Stephen Travers, you know, talks very eloquently and very beautifully about what he's been through and how he's trying to kind of get beyond it, you know. And again, he's a shining example of how you can take something awful and try and find the best outcome from it. You know, it's heartbreaking when he tells his story, and he tells it often. He travels around all of Ireland these days, kind of talking to anybody that's prepared to listen.
Yeah, I've had him on this program. His voice of forgiveness is one of the most telling voices that I've ever experienced. When you see the forgiveness in his eyes when he sits across the desk from you. I'm interested in reading this. Tell us, Stuart, its full name and who the publisher is, please.
Well, it's called Trouble Songs and Music in Conflict in Northern Ireland. It's out in about 4 weeks, but we're doing a special reading tomorrow at the City Hall in Belfast. I think Bill Clinton's going to be there. It's the anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, and lots of people will have different angles and stories, and mine is listen to your musicians, because musicians have got a heart and a soul and a conscience, and sometimes they can be well ahead of the politicians and telling you the way to go.
And what did Bono say to you about lifting the arms of John Hume and David Trimble? Was that a spontaneous thing, or was that pre-planned?
It was very much pre-planned, and they'd worked it all out, and they knew it was going to be a big image. He says the hardest thing, he says, of that day was I insisted that the two of them sat in a room together before the gig. And he says it was about 7 minutes worth of trembling human in the room before the rest of the world interrupted. But that's a lovely image. Imagine what the conversation was like in there for 7 minutes. And it was a great moment. Various people say at least 2% vote swing after that one gig. So rock and roll saved Northern Ireland. What a thought, eh?
there's a great line. Stuart, thanks for coming on. Thank you. That is Stuart Bailey, music writer and broadcaster, and Trouble Songs, Music and Conflict in Northern Ireland, coming out very soon.